from John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. And that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." Well, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told them, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." I suppose when it comes to the death of Christ, I find it an amazingly emotional time for me. And one of the reasons is because death was never far from my life. Not that long ago, I received a book that is part of my life. It tells the story of the early part of my life before I was adopted, before I was taken from my family. And it tells me about the fact that 3 months, 3.5 months before I was even born, my father passed away. Death was never really very far from me. And I've got to tell you that there's something about death that to me is just, it's just intense. And I know for many of you here, you have experienced this. You have experienced loss of one sort or another. And in no way, in anything that I say this morning, do I ever, ever want to rob you of any sense of loss that you may have from a situation in your life. Because I don't ever want to rob myself of that either. Later on in my life, I know that there was a period of 10 years. And within that period of 10 years, in the formative years of my life, not only did I lose my adopted mother and my adopted father, but I also lost my grandfather, and I also lost a grandmother, and there were 9 people close to me whom I lost in a 10-year period in my teenage years. And one thing that I learned from that was that they never came back. Death is final. Death is serious. Death is irreversible. As much as I would have loved the day after my father or the day after my mother died or 3 days later, to wake up in my bed and to get up and to open my bedroom door and to see them standing in my family room alive. How much I yearned for that. And yet how much it never happened. It is irreversible. It doesn't happen. And as I say, I know for many of you, you have probably felt that same loss. You have probably felt that same grief, that same hurt, that same struggle when somebody passes from this world. There is an irreversible act that happens at that moment. We cannot change it. And it hurts. And it leaves us alone. And it leaves us to struggle. And it leaves us to wonder about our own future. It leaves us. But to me, Easter represents something far greater than that. The day of resurrection is a day, and the reason that we have chosen some of these songs, because they echoed the absolute amazement that must have occurred when people realized that Jesus had risen again. But do you know what? In actual fact, it wasn't like that. In actual fact, I thought back and I thought of myself and thought, if I was around and thought about my own life and thought, if I did get up that morning and I did go out and I did see my mum or my dad there, how would I be? Would I just be sort of, no, it's not true. It's not true. But yet the disciples were in such a state of fear and such a state of dread and such a state of loss and such a state of uncertainty that even when several witnesses came and they told them and they encouraged them and they said, we've seen Jesus, he is alive, they still struggled to believe. Why? Because probably many of them had experienced death. Many of them, not themselves, I mean, they had experienced someone passing away very close to them. They had experienced that feeling that occurs. And it is horrendous. And that is why I say to all of you, I am in no way do I ever want to take away anything from what you feel and what this day might mean to you. Because it is a hard day. But yet at the same time, I do want to say that what we get today is we get something a little bit more. We get something a bit extra. We get something that goes beyond the irreversible, that goes beyond, and we get an insight into who God is. We get an insight into the character of God. We get an insight into what God is like. We get an insight to the fact that God is omnipotent, that God is omnipresent, that God is omniscient. And you might say, whoa, there's some big words. What do they mean? They were about the only three words I learned at Bible college. He is omnipotent, and we get that omni, which is all, and potent, which is powerful. God is all-powerful. And how do we know that? Because God conquered and reversed death. God conquered and reversed death. Nobody else can do that. He is all-powerful. And with His Son, He conquered and reversed death. God is omnipotent in creation. We see that in creation. We see in Isaiah 44, 24, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. This is the all-powerful God. This is the all-powerful God that can intervene in our life, even in situations that are irreversible as far as our understanding goes, as far as mankind can deal with it. It is irreversible. I still know that I have lost those people in my life. But do you know since I came to find the omnipotent God, the one whom I know goes beyond all power, I have realized that they are with an everlasting God. That He goes beyond this world. God is omnipotent in salvation. Jude 24:25 says this, "To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen." He is all powerful, even into salvation. That we can be with Him to the very end of the ages. God is omnipotent, as we have seen in the resurrection, as we read about. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." God is all-powerful. Death is, in God, reversible. And we see in that through God and what He did with Jesus Christ and through the death and resurrection, we see clearly He is omnipotent. It is not irreversible. There is nothing in this life that is irreversible to God. So therefore, we worship an all-powerful God. We also worship an omnipresent God. He is all-present. He is present everywhere. How do we know that? We know that as we read Scripture, Jesus died. He went down to the very gates of hell. And we know that God the Father was with Him. We know that God the Father was there to the point where He brought Him out, took the keys, and brought Him back to life, and then took Him to eternity with Him. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He is all present. He is present everywhere. And He is also omniscient. Omniscient, omniscience, or is the way they do it. All science, all knowledge is what it's looking at. He knows all things as well. In Genesis 45, I read on Friday about Joseph and looked at how God can bring good coming out of any situation, and going back to Genesis 45, verse 5, and reading this, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." There is a sense throughout Scripture that God knows what is needed, what is needed to happen. God knows what is going to happen. God knows what is going to happen in each one of our lives. He knows the things we are going to go through. He knows what's going to happen for us. And He says, "I am with you in the midst of that. I know the past, I know the present, and I know the future. I am, I was in the beginning, I am now, and I will evermore shall be." God knows all things. Psalm 139, 1 to 4, David wrote, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Wow. Wow. God knows. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. And it is because of all that that we can come today and we can recognize that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that He did rise from the dead, that it is something that we can rejoice in. And even in the midst of our direst times of need, He is there. And He is able to take us to that point of victory. He is able to take us there. First Corinthians 15:13-22. And I'm just going to finish with this. First Corinthians 15:13-22. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that cannot be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. And that is sometimes how we feel. That is sometimes how we feel when we allow the things of this world to overcome us. When we allow the pressures of this world to push in and take priority in our life, we can feel like it's just useless, it's helpless, it's hopeless. I've sort of got faith, but I don't know whether I do. It is times like this when we can recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that points out about God, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, and His omniscience, and recognize that He is God. And He is still there, and He is alive just as much as He was when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He is active just as much right now. And He is calling us and saying, what you preach is not useless. What you preach is not hollow. It is true because He is risen. And we've just been singing that. And I know, I've been watching you sing it. And you have been singing it with the very depths of your being because you know it. Then go and preach it. Go and share it. Keep sharing it. Share it to anybody you can find. Share to them the love of Jesus Christ and share to them the power and the majesty of God our Father. Share to them how He is all present, how He is all powerful, how He is all knowing, and how He is all loving. He is a loving Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but will have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. No, this is exciting because God sent His Son into the world that we might have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That is awesome. That is powerful. That is exciting. And that is why we have had the songs we've had this morning. And if our hope, no, sorry, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Everyone who belongs to Christ. Anybody who calls out to God, anybody who asks God, shall receive. Because he goes beyond anything we can think, anything we can struggle with, any possibilities of problems that we can manifest in our mind. And boy, we create a lot of problems, don't we? We create a lot of problems with our mind and how we try and make everything work. But God says he is able. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So if there be somebody that you're thinking about, and we've been doing this through our adventures in relationship, if there be some situation or some people that you've been praying for and you're going, it's impossible, I just can't break through, great, then give it over to God and know that it's not irreversible, it's not impossible, it is possible. They are reversible. Our sin has been reversed because of what Christ did on the cross. It came upon us and it has been taken from us to our Lord Jesus Christ. And it can happen for anybody. Keep praying. Keep loving. Keep seeing people the way God sees them. And recognize that the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the resurrection, because without the resurrection there is nothing. It is hollow. It falls down. The resurrection is pivotal to our faith and to our preaching and to our sharing and to our loving. God is the God of the reversible. God is the God of the reversible. And I just wonder, is there something in your life that you're thinking of right now? If there's something that you're wondering, when I've talked like this, when I've spoken like this, when I've shared what I've shared, is there something in your life that you're thinking, I just don't know. I just don't know whether he can reverse that. I don't know whether he can change that. Then I don't want to leave it there, and I don't want to leave you wondering. I want to offer to you and say, he is the same God then as he is now and as he will be in the future. Call out to him and trust in him and know that you can trust him and ask him and say, that irreversible situation, I want to pray for it right now. And I'm going to believe that it is reversible in the blood of Jesus. It is reversible because God is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, and he is omniscient. God knows. Then trust in him. He is faithful. Think about it right now. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And if there is a person or a situation, something that's going on in your life, if there's somebody there, I want you to visualize it. I want you to visualize them. I want you to see them. I want you to see the situation. Whatever is going on for you, whatever it is that maybe is still there and you're still wondering, can God change it? If you take anything from this morning, I want you to see that person, that situation, that thing, and I want you to see, and I want you to imagine God reversing it. I want you to see God changing it. I want you to see God refreshing it. I want you to see God, even in a sense, resurrecting it. God is the God of the reversible. Sin is not irreversible. Sin is not irreversible. There are times when we think about ourselves, and maybe some of you have actually thought of things you've done. You've thought of things and thought, God can never forgive me for that. There are things that come back to your mind, and I want you to see them, and I want you to recognize that it is reversible through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. And I want you to see the victory won. I want you to see the victory won in somebody else's life. I want to see the victory won. I want you to see the victory won in a situation that you're envisaging. See it now in your mind. And declare in your heart, it is reversible. Because God is God. And he is a good God. He is a good God. He loves his people. He loves mankind. He loves this world. He loves you. God is the God of the reversible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just thank you for what you've been doing today. We thank you for your presence here with us today. We thank you for what has gone on in our hearts and our minds and our spirits as we have praised you and as we have sung and as we have given you the glory and as we have acknowledged and as we have read through your word and as we have heard from your word, you are the God of the reversible. Thank you. Thank you that with that we can walk away from here this morning filled with a sense of hope, filled with a sense of a future, because you are the God that has said, I give you a hope and a future. Take hold of it. Thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing. Thank you.